That we and the whole world may perceive the glory of his marvelous works, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen.
Amen.
A reading from the book of the prophet Nehemiah. All the people of Israel gathered together into the square before the water gate. They told the scribe Ezra to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had given to Israel. Accordingly, the priest Ezra brought the law before the assembly, both men and women, and all who could hear with understanding. This was on the first day of the seventh month. He read from it facing the square before the water gate from early morning until midday, in the presence of the men and the women and those who could understand. And the ears of all the people were attentive to the book of the law. And Ezra opened the book in the sight of all the people, for he was standing above all the people. And when he opened it, all the people stood up. Then Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God, and all the people answered, "Amen, amen," lifting up their hands. Then they bowed their heads and worshiped the Lord with their faces to the ground. So they read from the book, from the law of God with interpretation. They gave the sense so that the people understood the reading. And Nehemiah, who was the governor, and Ezra, the priest and scribe, and the Levites, who taught the people, said to all the people, "This day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn or weep." For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, "Go your way, eat the fat and drink sweet wine and send portions of them to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord, and do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our psalm today is Psalm 19. Let us read together. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. One day tells its tale to another, and one night imparts knowledge to another. Although they have no words or language, and their voices are not heard, their sound has gone out into all the lands, and their message to the ends of the world. In the deep has he set a pavilion for the sun. It comes forth like a bridegroom out of his chamber. It rejoices like a champion to run its course. It goes forth from the uttermost edge of the heavens and runs about to the end of it again. Nothing is hidden from its burning heat. The law of the Lord is perfect and revives the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure and gives wisdom to the innocent. The statutes of the Lord are just and rejoice the heart. The commandments of the Lord is clear and gives light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean and endures forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, more than much fine gold. Sweeter far than honey in the comb. By them also is your servant enlightened, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can tell how often he offends? Cleanse me from my secret faults. Above all, keep your servant from presumptuous sins. Let them not get dominion over me. Then shall I be whole and sound and innocent of a great offense. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. A reading from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in the one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we were all made to drink of one Spirit. Indeed, the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, "Because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear would say, "Because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body," that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? If the whole body were hearing, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many members, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, "I have no need of you," nor again the head to the feet, "I have no need of you." On the contrary, the members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And those members of the body that we think less honorable, we clothe with greater honor. And our less respectable members are treated with greater respect. Whereas our more respectable members do not need this. But God has so arranged the body, giving the greater honor to the inferior member, that there may be no dissension within the body, but the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together with it. If one member is honored, all rejoice together with it. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. And God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then deeds of power, then gifts of healing, forms of assistance, forms of leadership, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? But strive for the greater gifts. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you.
Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
This is from Frederick Buechner's book, Peculiar Treasures, specifically in his article about Paul. When you came right down to it, what was God up to for God's sweet sake? Sending them all out, prophets, apostles, evangelists, teachers, the whole tattered bunch, to beat their gums and work themselves into an early grave. God was making a body for Christ, Paul said. Christ didn't have a regular body anymore, so God was making him one out of anybody he could find who looked as if he might just possibly do. He was using other people's hands to be Christ's hands, and other people's feet to be Christ's feet. And when there was some place where Christ was needed in a hurry and needed bad, he put the finger on some maybe not all that innocent bystander and got him to go and be Christ in that place himself, for lack of anybody better. And how long was the whole great circus to last? Paul said, "Why, until we all become human beings at last. Until we all attain to mature manhood," as he put it. And then, since there had been only one really human being since the world began, until we all make it to where we're like him, he said, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ in Ephesians. Christ to each other, Christ to God, all of us, finally. It was just as easy and just as hard as that. Well, it doesn't get a lot better than that, in my opinion. I couldn't lay my hands on my own copy of Peculiar Treasures, so I can't say what else Buechner writes about Paul in this article. By the way, I do this perennially, I think. I'll just make this declaration now. I used to feel a little bit guilty about poaching Buechner's words or Bill Loader's or Barbara Brown Taylor's, but I'm about to get over that. For one thing, I always give them credit. For another, if my preaching amounts to nothing more than putting these scholars and writers and a bunch of others in front of as many parishes as I've served, congregations to whom I've preached, then I feel I've done something of service. As I've told you before, I long since resolved that if someone else says something perfectly or as close to that as human gets, then why should I pretend that I can do any better? So I quote that from Buechner. I was saying that I don't remember what else he says about Paul, but in here he describes Paul as, of course, the not so innocent bystander, the one who did in fact stand on the sidelines while Christians were being stoned to death for being, well, Christian. And God used Paul as a mouthpiece at times, a social witness, even though he was sometimes blustery, sometimes misogynistic, impulsive. It's beginning to sound like faint praise, isn't it? And I don't mean for it to. We wouldn't be here if it weren't for Paul. Back to today and to the body of Christ. We need each other. What I love is what Buechner says, that God can use any one of us at any time to fill a role in carrying the good news to a needy and hungry and impoverished world. And just to be clear, that impoverishment of spirit can and does happen even in the richest nations in the world, and for that matter, even among the richest within those nations. In fact, Paul, the less than innocent bystander, enshrined in the Holy Scripture. I would place today's passage in that category. This beautiful description of how seemingly insignificant and yet how vital each of us is in the grand scheme of things, this body of Christ. By the way, I always think about the less honorable parts of the body and the people we associate with those parts, sometimes being less eloquent and more specific in referring to these people. Anyone who's had a colonoscopy or the need for one knows just how vital those less honorable parts are. But I digress. This description and analogy of all of us together making up one body is the church, in a few words. Another of Paul's most eloquent pieces, the top of my list of Paul's greatest hits, is the very next bit in 1 Corinthians, following his sort of cliffhanger and lead in the closing words of today's passage, but strive for the greater gifts. Tune in next week to hear more of those. That's when it comes up. Back to today and the body of Christ. We do need each other, and the world, even those parts of the world that don't understand it, needs us, at least our harmonious acting together, to answer humanity's most difficult problems. We're not the only ones who can do those things, of course, but we together provide one potent response to the world's most crying need. In today's gospel, Jesus tells his audience, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." And so it is now with all of us flawed human beings acting together as the body of Christ. Today, God's promise is being fulfilled within and through us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. We continue with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is, seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he became incarnate from the Virgin Mary and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son. With the Father and the Son, he is worshiped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Amen.
In peace we pray to you, Lord God. For all people in their daily life and work.
For our families, friends, and neighbors, and for those who are alone.
For this community, the nation, and the world.
For all who work for justice, freedom, and peace.
For the just and proper use of your creation.
For the victims of hunger, fear, injustice, and oppression.
For all who are in danger, sorrow, or any kind of trouble.
For those who minister to the sick, the friendless, and the needy.
For the peace and unity of the Church of God.
For all who proclaim the gospel and all who seek the truth.
For Michael, our presiding bishop, Andy, Kay, Jeff, and Hector, our bishops. For Michael, our priest, and for all bishops and other ministers.
For all who serve God in his church.
For the special needs and concerns of this congregation, and especially Justin, Van, Carol, Jim, John, RG, Greg, Karen, Rocco, Carol, Janet, Maureen, Jill, David, John, Alan, Ann, Amelie, the Degatier family, Martha and family. For all on the long-term prayer list prayed for daily by the Daughters of the King. And for those who serve in the military, especially Brian, Trevor, James, Reed, Kevin, Chris, Jared, Brian, Jonathan, Eric, and all in harm's way. For those who are traveling, Jim and Linda.
Please offer your own prayers here, unmuting yourselves if you wish it to be aloud or silently.
Hear us, Lord.
For your mercy is great.
We thank you, Lord, for all the blessings of this life, and especially for the birthdays this week of Matthias Montemayor, George Clear, and Dina Thomas. We will exalt you, O God, our King,
and praise your name forever and ever.
We pray for all who have died, especially Roy Oakley, Judy Kuykendall, Betty White, Desmond Tutu, Archbishop, and all who have died from the coronavirus, that they may have a place in your eternal kingdom. We pray also for those who mourn their passing. Lord, let your loving kindness be upon them
who put their trust in you.
We pray to you also for the forgiveness of our sins. Have mercy upon us, most merciful Father, and your compassion forgive us our sins, known and unknown, things done and left undone. And so uphold us by your Spirit that we may live and serve you in newness of life to the honor and glory of your name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen.
Amen.
Please unmute yourselves. Watching for all those little red microphones to go away. The peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
I love it. Look at Kendon Wayne. That's just right, you guys. That's real peace. That's great. I love it. And now, may Christ, the Son of God, be manifest in you, that your lives may be a light to the world. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen.
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 Okay, your big line is coming up, so you unmute yourselves, please. I was trying to do two things at once, and it doesn't work that well for me generally. All right, let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.